So with my birthday last week, many of you have probably experienced this too. One of the neat things about our sort of modern world with social media and everything, some of it's a little bit tricky, but a nice thing is that you get birthday messages from people throughout your life on things like your birthday, because Facebook reminds everyone. And especially one of the nice things about that is you get some kind of deep cuts sometimes of people reaching out to you. Folks from high school that live in different parts of the country now. There are people who I knew from when I lived in Florida and California who wrote messages in different ways, and it was kind of nice. Some of the folks I keep in touch with more, some I hadn't communicated with in a long time. So just having those prompters and reminders of all the different seasons of life and important connections we've made over time is really wonderful. One of the things that made me think about, though, too, was remembering what all of those relationships were like and thinking a little bit about the things that help form and sustain relationships in our lives. Because, you know, some of that you think about, well, what brought us together as friends? You know, we happened to be in the same church or the same activity, we ran into each other somewhere and kind of hit it off, we met through other people who said you'd probably like each other, we'll all be in a group together. And so you get these nice memories of what that was like coming to mind. And then you also think about, and what was it like through the different seasons of that relationship? And now that, you know, if I've moved around a lot and some people I see more or less than others, you think about what are the things in my relationships that helped me stay close with some of those people, where they're sending me a message. Maybe they even live in a different part of the country, but that's just part of our normal communication that we have here and there. But for other people, right, you end up losing touch a little bit more, but it's nice to have a reason to just touch base real quick. And doesn't even necessarily mean that something is bad, but it's okay to, you know, go into your own seasons of life and different things. You don't have to stay in touch all the time. But another thing that I remembered as I was looking at those and thinking about what each person represented and what our relationships have been like is those people who I don't stay in touch with very often, but I know if something happened in their life or in my life and it was a big deal and I really wanted to have that sense of support, or if we had a chance to get together because we happened to be in the same place, that we'd probably slip right back into those same senses of closeness and support because of what that relationship was like, even if we don't keep in touch all the time now. And it's true that sometimes aspects of relationships can feel a little bit random or arbitrary, right? It can feel strange, like, well, why are you friends? Well, we happen to live next door to each other. We happen to get sat at the same table in second grade, and then we just kind of hit it off. We happen to be, you know, down the hall from each other in cubicles, and I had to walk by them every time when I went to the water cooler or something, and then we just started hitting it off. You know, we're the only two Bengals fans in a Steelers bar, and we were watching a game and commiserated with each other a little bit while everyone was trying to mock us. Whatever it might be. But we also know that there's a point in all relationships where they start to go deeper and mean more than just geography or shared interest or coincidence. And something really starts to create a meaningful, lasting bond where even it's easy to forget the things that started it that might have felt kind of coincidental because you are now so close and share so many things. And often it has to do with going through a difficult time together in some way. And then you see the people that go through it with you, and that struggle together creates a bond. Or maybe it's that you're able to do something special for each other at some point, and you show how you're willing to go the extra mile and what value that shows to each of you as you do that together. Maybe it's a way that you're able to be vulnerable with a person that you're not able to be with just kind of the world at large. And you know that person is trustworthy and cares for you and supports you in something difficult. Maybe they see something in you that not everyone is able to see. And that knowledge, that intimacy, creates a really important bond. But there's always something that helps us get to that point where we know this is a not just someone I spend time with, not just someone I happen to like, but it's a true companion type of bond. And so we're going to be doing a sermon series through the winter and into the spring that explores all of those dimensions of relationships and connection and what makes them really special and take on special characteristics. You're going to start hearing us use a special word for that to kind of encapsulate all of those things a lot, companioning. And, you know, that has dictionary definitions, but we're going to use that as our word that says this is a special type of relationship, a special type of connection, a special type of walking together that we have with God and that God helps us have with each other. And we'll hold all these different dimensions and ideas that we'll be talking about. Most of all, we're going to see how the idea of companioning can help us see the amazingly deep and beautiful ways that God first has relationship with us. And then because God relates to us like that, we are encouraged and empowered to be able to relate to each other and then bring that same transcendent divine depth and beauty into our earthly relationships. So it opens up our hearts and we're able to commit ourselves to follow God in relating to people the same way that God relates to us and to them. So let's start to see what we can figure out, because our verses today, like Mike mentioned, are especially beautiful and meaningful in expressing the way that God connects with us. In Psalm 103, we see so many of the ways that God is willing to pour love into our lives, and that helps us deal with things that are difficult. And like the ways that we look back on our earthly relationships, it's many of those things that God does as we go through different seasons that help us most know that bond that God offers us. We know that going through hard times and seeing something that makes a difference is one of those things that most brings us together. And we can also see in these verses how God sees us and values us and doesn't just see us as humans that happen to be around and I'm God so I should love them, but that God really connects with us in a direct and even personal way. The psalm reminds us of all of those positive things that God does for us in each of our seasons. We see God portrayed as a healer of all kinds of diseases that we can experience. We see God as a helper for the pits that we can experience in our lives, as a generous provider when we're in need, an advocate and activist to ensure justice wherever there's oppression, and a teacher of wisdom and practical ways to live our lives. And these are really good things, but the psalm also highlights how God comes into our lives even when we're vulnerable or that we need some stretching or we're experiencing stretching and challenge. God's portrayed as giving us accountability when we need correction or growth or we need to go in a new direction. But this is a really important role, and we're assured that God does it, but does it in a very particular way. God always shows us grace and patience and empathy and compassion and removal of shame, rather than punishment or guilt or dumping on us or saying there's no path to come back to me. And so we're able to instead see this renewal and reconciliation even when we go through struggles, even when we have things in our own lives that might work to separate us from God. And similarly, the psalm acknowledges that God knows even our vulnerabilities and frailties, how we're like grass, how we go through ebbs and flows, and how we have limitations in our own ability and in our own time. And God loves and blesses and values us even in those vulnerabilities. And not only that, but God enters into us with us in those vulnerabilities, and through our connection to God and through our connections to each other that God enables through the Spirit, even our vulnerabilities are given a spark of the divine, a spark of the transcendent, a spark of the eternal, so that we experience that extra meaning, that extra impact, more than we ever could have guessed. Those moments that we share with God and with each other that feel like this was more than the 15 minutes we spent together. Somehow, like, time opened up. This was more than just I got to share something with someone. We had connection and support that feels even beyond what I can describe. And God's power is one of the things that enables that for us. And this is an amazing, powerful blend of love and affection and shared experience. And that helps us connect not only in that sense of like shared time that we have with God, but also that God is showing proactive support where needed in whatever's going on in our lives. And we can remember that having specific roles or ways that we support each other is one of the things that most helps us move beyond like, okay, yeah, we have like a close, enjoyable time together, but it's a little bit casual to something a little bit more serious. I was thinking this week of the Jerry Seinfeld bit. I think he did it in stand-up, and there's also some episodes about it on the Seinfeld TV show, where he was kind of saying, you know, like, you cross a threshold in a relationship when you're, like, willing to help someone move or drive them to the airport. And so he'd be evaluating his relationships, like, am I ready to have this person ask me to drive them to the airport? Or does that feel like a little bit too much, too fast? We don't have that sense of bond yet. But those are the things, even in a small, silly way, that helps us know that people care for us and are coming alongside us and willing to do things that are a little bit maybe of an inconvenience to them because they care about us so much. And with God, we know that there's not this sort of approach of holding things off but not willing to drive us to the airport. God doesn't say, well, yeah, you know, I'll send some sun and rain. Maybe there'll be some nice landscapes that you can look at, sunrises and all of that. And then you can sing me some songs and read some books, but we're going to draw a line. We're not going to do any forgiving. We're not going to let them be a part of salvation life or transform the world until we've felt some things out for a little bit. We want to make sure that there's a lot more making sure that things are really, really important and connected. If I really do like them that much, or if I just, you know, kind of like them, they're okay. But on the other side, we know that even those things that someone comes in and helps us with something difficult and important, that can go in a way where it just feels like a job or a task. And God doesn't relate to us like that either, where we just say, you know, like, can you help me out, but draw a line with actually connecting in a personal, relational way, right? I mean, we have people that might drive us to the airport or help us move. We might hire people like that, and that's very helpful. There might even be people that work for nonprofit organizations where they'll do it as a volunteer sort of thing, so you don't have to pay them, but it's not the same as a close relationship. And similarly, God is not just this functional God that doesn't want to connect with us. There's not a thing where God would say, I'll give you some churchy jobs to do, I'll give them ideas about helping each other, I'll even set up a comfy place for you to live after you die. But please just leave me alone besides that. I don't want a relationship with you. I don't want to do things together. I just need my space to do my God things, which you don't understand anyway. And so let me set you up, but then after that, we'll just kind of call it a day. God doesn't relate to us like that either. Completely holds together that sense of personal connection, of personal love and appreciation, but also the things that help us in difficult times. So in John 15, we see how this really comes together as well. We have the gift of love and intentionality in a relationship that makes us closer and fully seen. One of the beautiful lines in Scripture is the idea that we would not just be servants with God as a master, but that through Jesus we are called friends of Jesus and friends of God. Caring about a person's needs and helping them in key ways is really important, but we want to know that things go beyond just that sense of jobs. And it is true that we get to connect with God, as the Scripture says, when we do the same things that God is doing, when we follow God's commands. We're not just following someone who's like a boss or a manager and that points but doesn't do anything, but God is doing these things, and so it's a way that we can connect in time and relationship by doing them with God. But then that connection does bring a bond, and God wants to have that bond with us. You can think of the difference between, like, how do you get into that level of full friendship and intimacy, right? Think of maybe you're walking around in your office building or an apartment or something. You say, man, that person from down the hall that I just walked by, they seem really grumpy. So I want to do something nice. Let me pull out my wallet. And I know I've got a Starbucks gift card in here that I just keep forgetting to use. It's been there for like a year or two. But I'll give them, you know, some caffeine and a treat. That'll pep them up. They won't feel grumpy anymore. And they'll feel like it's kind of nice. That's one level of helping people. That's good. But then there's also those relationships that we have where someone sort of says to us, I know that no one else noticed this, but my friend, when I saw someone talking to her, did this shrugging thing instead of really talking back that I know means that she's really tired and doesn't have the energy to deal with people anymore. So I'm going to go down the street to our favorite coffee shop and get the specific drink that she really loves, only I'm going to order it with a coffee drizzle instead of a caramel drizzle, because that reminds us of this inside joke where one time we were at the coffee shop together and they got the order wrong. But she didn't want to tell them that the order was wrong. And I kept telling her for like 10 minutes, no, you should speak up for yourself. It's okay, even if you feel nervous. And finally she said, I'll just not worry about it. So I said, well, I'm going to get up, but I'm going to get you your right drink. So I went and helped her and said, you need to replace this drink that has the right drizzle that my friend really likes, because she doesn't like chocolate as much. And so whenever we go to this coffee shop or whenever she drinks this drink, It reminds her of, I know what it's like to go through a hard time, and I'm here on your side, and I'll help you out no matter what. It's kind of a silly extra story, but we can see the difference, right? Between when someone really knows us and we've gone through personal experiences, and then the times we're just sort of doing something because we think that's a nice thing to do in an arbitrary way. And so we also see in the verses that not only do we get to have that type of intimate relationship with God, but that specifically our companionship with God is supposed to help us and encourage us to have those same types of companioning relationships with each other. That God's love to us and God's love to other people begets love that can happen between us as well and makes it of that divine character. In John 15, we see that God's love is the source, and Jesus with us ensures that we also have access to that love and that we can be empowered by it. You may remember or have an idea that this sounded kind of familiar with some other passages. Right before this section that we chose to read today in John 15 is the famous illustration of Jesus talking about how he is the vine and we are the branches. And so we're able to remain in Jesus and have that same vitality that branches and leaves and fruit get from their vines and down into their roots. And so that's that sense of we know what the connection we have with Jesus is, but then what comes next, the connection that Jesus wants us to have with each other. I've been doing a lot of middle school homework helping lately with Aislinn, and you know, one of the things you learn around that time in middle school at science class is some of that extra biology things of how do animals and plants like really work at a slightly deeper level. So they're starting to learn about the structure of like roots in a plant going through a stem or a vine and out into the branches and the leaves and the fruit and how all the different nutrients get passed around and everything. And so it is this really beautiful picture of vine and branches of how not only do we have one type of relationship with God and then we have different types of relationships with each other, but through God's love and spirit, they all start to work together in this kind of profound way where our connection with God first helps our connection with each other, and then there can be all sorts of facets of those relationships from shared interests to sharing time to doing things that are difficult in times of struggle or need, to just appreciating a person as a unique and beautiful person. And all of those things, the same way that, right, we've got the image in Corinthians about the different parts of the body, we can use the image of the different parts of the plant. We need all of those different elements. We want to bring all of those things, just like all the ways that God speaks into our life in Psalm 103, all of those should come into our deepest relationships and help bring the bonds that much closer together. God's love accounts for all of the things that we need. All the things from function to friendship. And it's companioning that bonds all these things together so that we can have life-giving connections with God and with each other. God will walk with us through whatever it is that's going on, and will have all of those ways to support us, and is even glad to connect with us in those ways. Because God does this with us, then we're able to let that love pour out from us, from God, and into the lives of others, and that we can companion with them, even when sometimes it's a little bit tricky, to have those same special connections and to help people in times of need or in times where they're having difficulty. We can do it from the unique gifts that we have because God honors all of those different ways that we support each other. Jesus also says that we remain in the love that God gives by loving each other, but it's not supposed to just sit and pool there. It's supposed to pour out. And so we experience more of God's love and more connection to God in our lives when we do have that sense where we're willing to love other people the way that God does. We can even make ourselves closer to God when we become closer to other people and do that companioning. It's a way to get more experience of God, to get more connection with God, to get more relationship with God. And so that's why we're going to be explaining this idea of companioning and all the different facets that it can look like in different contexts as we each have our gifts or as people who are around us could be people that we connect with and the things that they might need in a unique way. It's a core part of how we can take relationships, companioning, and all the things that we can learn about them and from Psalm and from John 15 and other things we'll look at in the future, and we make them be more full of that divine spark, meaningful things, and ways that we can be life-giving for ourselves and for other people. And companioning is also something that we could all agree, I think, that the world especially needs right now. We know all of the experiences that people are having of misunderstanding or toxicity, of division, of struggle, of stress, of isolation. But God has given us gifts to be able to have relationships that bring healing and restoration even to those feelings and experiences. And they can transform them for us and for other people where we feel adrift or other people feel adrift or hopeless. What an amazing gift to say there is a God that knows what those experiences can be, that will enter into all of them with us and has a love and a care and a willingness to step forward and act that can address all of those things, even when we feel them in our most overwhelming way. But then, of course, it's also one of the most important ways that we ensure that our lives remain rooted in God. When we companion others, we are using the love that God's given us and that God uses to companion with others. And then we can experience that much deeper for ourselves and have that life as God intended. We'll be learning more about the nature of love and salvation that God gives us when we try to share it and use it ourselves. And then we can have that same transformation, and we can see transformation happening with those around us. So as we go through this series together, as we learn more about the opportunities and depth of companioning, we'll also be learning how we can get closer with God, how we can spend more time with God, do more of the things that God is always doing, and be blessed by that. That's an amazing thing for us to experience. I want that for all of us, that close connection with God and that learning of all the things that salvation life can offer. I hope that you'll be excited about this opportunity too and what we can be learning together in the upcoming series. And I'll be sharing, Robin will be sharing, other people from our lay team and from the church will be sharing things that they've experienced in their own lives that we can all find our own connections and applications for as well. We will even be giving opportunities for ways that you can try out companioning, for people that you could try out companioning with. And we're going to work really hard to make sure that those are natural, accessible, interesting to your passions, connectional to people that need connection in their lives, so that we can have that companioning, have that be a blessing, and also know that in doing that type of companioning, even in those small, accessible ways, we are having more of God's life in us because we're doing the things that God is doing. So look out for that. Please do tell me, share with me, if you have had times in your life, whether it's friendships, whether it's organizations that you've done something with, whether it's family members, seasons in your life where you walked along someone that maybe you don't have a connection with now, but you know how meaningful that was to both of you in the moment. We want to hear those stories. We want to hear those opportunities that are out there for people that need companioning that we can step into in some way. So please do share all of that, because I know that as we do that together, as we learn more together, we're going to have an amazing impact on the world around us and join in what God is already doing with that impact. But also, we're going to have amazing new intimacy and connection with God in our own lives, because God's love, as we learn to use it ourselves, we get more insight and profound connection in the love that God is giving us to then use for other people. I can't wait to do that together with all of you and see the difference it makes in our lives, in our church, and in the community as a whole as we go through this time together. One of the ways that we continue to try to companion the world around us is not only with our time and our emotions, but also with our resources, and so we'll have a prayer for our offering for that at this time.